And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. Good morning, brothers, sisters, friends, family. We're going to open this memorial service with the singing of hymn 151 to the second tune. And after that, we'll remain standing for a word of opening prayer. Hymn number 151. Lord of all being, throned afar, thy glory flames from sun and star. Center and soul of every sphere, yet to each seeking heart how near. Hymn number 151 to the second tune. Lord of all life, below, above, whose light is truth and whose warmth is love, we come before your name humbly this morning to ask a blessing on this service, that it may be glorifying to your name. We must remember the reason we come around every Sunday morning, to remember the sacrifice of your Son and your gracious promise of forgiveness through your love. And we pray that the service will be meaningful and fulfilling, and that we will be replenished in our spiritual vigor so that we may survive one more week in this world of darkness if you choose to keep your Son away from us. We pray that you'll send your Son soon to establish our kingdom, in the meantime to bless our gathering together. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name, amen.
All heard.
The New England CYC is organized and conducted on the basis of the doctrines and precepts of the scriptures as conveniently summarized in the Birmingham Amended Statement of Faith. All are welcome to partake of the emblems who fellowship consistently on this basis. Just got a few announcements this morning. Our exhortation will be by our brother Brett Houghton. It will be titled The Love Epidemic. Our serving brethren this morning are brothers Ethan Pride and Nick Bartlett. And our reading brother is brother Peter Davis. The only other announcement I have is that we have very happy news coming out of the Meriden, Connecticut Ecclesia. After a good confession of his faith, Tim Demarest will be baptized next Sunday, September 27th, maybe, at 9:30 a.m. in the Meriden Ecclesial Hall. And afterwards, there will be food. I have no other announcements at this time pertaining to memorial service, so it'll give us a time to offer up a free will offering for the expenses of this weekend that are not covered by the tuition. Our reading for this morning will come from James chapter 1, and our brother Peter Davis is going to read that for us.
James chapter 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. Greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position. But the one who is rich should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant, its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade away even while he goes about his business. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, "God is tempting me," for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, He deceives himself, and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world.
Thank you, Peter. We'll continue our memorial service with a singing of a memorial hymn. We'll sing hymn 240. Hymn 240. Savior, we meet in thy dear name, and here present our humble plea. Bless us as now we eat and drink, in sweet remembrance, Lord, of thee. Hymn number 240. We will now call upon our brother Brett Houghton to lead us in this morning's word of exhortation, which he has entitled, The Love Epidemic.
Good morning, brothers, sisters, young people, and friends. I apologize for having my laptop up here, but I forgot there's no printer at this weekend. So, yeah, it is what it is. First off, I would like to thank the other brothers for the wonderful job they did yesterday and this morning. And they also helped me out a lot, so I don't have to go in depth into anything crazy, because they already did that for me. So thank you for that. But it gives me great joy to see others getting excited about the Word of God. So as we know, the topic of this weekend has been the New Commandment. And as the last, I guess you could say, class of the weekend, I'd like to look at our love toward God through obedience. However, to show this obedience, I have to go through something. and it's a very serious problem. There's been an epidemic going around in our community. Have you heard of it? You probably have, but haven't even realized it. In fact, sometimes it even catches you unaware. So what is it? I like to call it the love epidemic. Over the past decades, the idea of God's love has exploded, which is great, to an extent. And what do I mean by this? Well, Christianity, and the United States especially, has pushed for, do what you want, God loves you for who you are. Or as some would say, Jesus loves you. You see the problem? This human way of thinking has made its way into our community. And where does this come from? I was going to go to 1 John 4. However, Gideon did that perfectly this morning for me, so I do not have to do that. And I thank you, Brother Gideon. But just a quick reference, that is, the God is love. And that's being extended to everything. God is love, so you do what you want. God loves you for who you are. So, just to give you one example, and then we'll dive straight into Scripture, let's look at something that's appearing today and is very relevant to us. And Gideon, this was for you, but apparently you didn't want any water, so I'm taking it. And that is the problem of homosexuality. As we all know, homosexual marriages have become legal in the past couple of months in the United States, and has been something we have all had to deal with, whether it be school, college, workplace. The world we live in is pushing us toward accepting and loving each other for the way people are. So, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11. And I have a lot of scriptures, so kind of just bear with me here. I'll be going back and forth. I also have to find it. All right. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed. But ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Again, turn with me to 1 Timothy 1 through 8. And you'll start to see where I'm going here. 1 Timothy 1, 8 through 11. But we know that the law is good, if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy, profane, for murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and to be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And one more reference in Romans 1, verses 26 and 27. This one states it pretty clearly. Romans 1, 26 and 27. For this cause, God gave them up into vile affections, for even their woman did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of the error which was meet. So there are other verses, but I will stop here. So those three were talking about how homosexuality was wrong. And we can clearly see this. However, people still do it anyways. And sadly, in some cases, our community around the world, and may even us, and sometimes may fall into this trap, we're supporting them in this. Again, it comes up, God loves you for who you are, He knows your troubles, and Christ died for you, so do whatever you want. What? Might as well have been, as one of my favorite brothers in our ecclesia has said, might as well have been the one nailing Christ to the cross. And what I mean by that is, say, taking from that Roman soldier, here, I'll take that nail. Christ, I'm so glad you're dying for me, so I can do whatever I want. I'm saved now, because you died for me. And that's not the attitude we should have. In Jeremiah 17 and 9, as a verse we all know, we read, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" So, what's the cure to this love epidemic? My computer work, I would tell you. And the cure is love through obedience. Obedience to the law, obedience to God. And through this, we can show love to our brothers and sisters, which again, our brothers showed us yesterday and this morning. Ooh. Showed us yesterday and this morning. If we truly love God, we would want to obey Him. Just like if we love our parents, we would obey them. If we truly love our brothers and sisters, we would push them in the right direction. Help them with their problems. But you wouldn't support them in the act of sinning. Rather, you would help them get out of that act. Lead them to Scripture. Help them. And as Evan said, Brother Evan, the truth should be our core between friends. So turn with me to Deuteronomy 18, and 18, verse 21. And this shows the importance of obedience. So this is Deuteronomy 18, 18 through 21. "I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, but that shall speak in the name of the other gods, even that prophet will die. If thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, the thing falleth not, nor come to pass, that is a thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him." So here we have an example of God sending prophets to help our brothers and sisters and the Israelites here. And if they speak anything contrary to what God says and disobey God, they should be put to death. They're leading others astray. So turn with me to Zephaniah 13 and 3. So there's no 13. Did I write something else? You know what? It's Zechariah. My mistake. I think I did this last time I spoke up here, too. Let's try that again. Zechariah. I put my Bible on the computer and I pushed the P button. That's why I got Zephaniah. Alright. Zechariah 13:3. And shall come to pass that when any shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother that begat him shall say unto him, Thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and mother that begat him shall thrust him through when he prophesied. It was so key that they would obey God, that if someone's son or daughter was prophesying wrong, the mother and father that begot this son or daughter would thrust them through themselves to kill them. That's how serious this is. Why is this so serious? Because it's God manifestation. We're trying to show God's righteousness. And another example would be the people living in the Promised Land in the time of Moses and Joshua. So turn with me to Deuteronomy, chapter 7, verse 2. And these are going to be examples of people who have disobeyed. Deuteronomy 7, verses, I'll start with 1, and go to 2. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land, whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, and the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them, and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt not make any covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. So why? Why utterly destroy these people? Well, they were disobeying God. God wanted these people wiped from the face of the earth so the Israelites would obey him and would not fall into the temptations that these people were doing. He was looking toward the future. He was saving them. And we can turn to another example, and that is in 1 Samuel 6. This one almost seems unfair, but we'll look at it. Starting at verse 5, this is 1 Samuel 6. Wherefore, you shall make images of the emerods and make images of the emerods and images of your mice that mar the land. And you shall give glory unto the God of Israel. Peradventure, he will lighten his hand from off you, and from off your gods, and from off your land. That's not the right one. Give me one sec. Odd. Well, I'll just give you the example then. That was the example of Uzzah stretching forth his hand to the ark of God, and he was struck for it. And again, it seems sort of unfair, like, well, you know, the ark was falling over. He went out to touch it, to save it, right? But that wasn't what he was supposed to do. God told him that the Levites, the priests, were the ones that are supposed to be carrying this ark, and they were doing it wrong. So what might have been seemed good to us, to our eyes, was wrong. Again, turn with me to 1 Samuel 15:9-23. One of my favorites. This is 1 Samuel 15, starting at verse 9. I'll read the 23. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, but would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king. For he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. It grieves Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and has gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. And Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, Stay on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey, and said, Go, utterly destroy the sinners of the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and I have brought Agag, the king of Amalekite, king of Amalek, and I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and adultery. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Again, we have another example of someone who decided to do what he thought was right. And it seems nice that he burnt all these burnt offerings unto the Lord, but that's not what God wanted. He wanted that obedience from Saul, and he did not get it. And because of that, the kingdom was taken away from Saul and given the king, not the king yet, but to David. One more example. Let's look at Luke chapter 15, verses 11, 13. Again, that is Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 23. And he said, A certain man had two sons. I don't know what was going through my head. I'll give you the example right now. We have the example of the young rich ruler who goes to Jesus and says, you know, I've done all these commandments. What do I lack? And Jesus says unto him, go and sell all that you have and follow God. And he went away sorry because he had many possessions. But if you notice in that, you have the man who did all the man-to-man commandments. He did not steal. He did not kill. He loved his neighbor. But he forgot the most important, the commandments that are from man to God. And that obedience. So we've looked at all the bad examples. Now let's look at some good examples. King David was known as the man after God's own heart. And why is that? Was it because he followed his own heart? No. Because he loved everybody? No. It was because he followed God and earnestly tried to manifest God's righteousness. It was when he followed his own heart and lusted after Bathsheba did he sin. We can also read in 1 Kings 11, verses 4 through 6. Again, this is 1 Kings 11, verses 4 through 6. For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. But Solomon went after Asherah, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. So why was David's heart perfect? Because he followed the Lord God. Obedience, again, there we have it. He loved God so much that he obeyed his commandments. And of course, we have the example of Christ, the true perfect example. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. I'm going to read from 18 to 21. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And in connection with that, let's turn to Philippians. Chapter 2. Four through 11. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Christ followed his Father's word to death, and through his obedience he completely and perfectly manifested God, and gave us the opportunity to have eternal life. And he knew the importance of obedience. I'll just give you one saying that he said to the people around him in Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, 27-28, which we read the other day. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. So I want to leave you with one more reference, and this is in Deuteronomy chapter 27. I'm just going to read from verses 1 through 8. And Moses with the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you this day, and it shall be on the day when you shall pass over Jordan unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt set thee up great stones, and plaster them with plaster. And thou shalt write upon them all the words of this law when thou art passed over, that thou mayest go in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, a land that floweth with milk and honey, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee. Therefore it shall be, when ye be gone over Jordan, that ye shall set up these stones, which I command you this day, on Mount Ebal, and thou shalt plaster them with plaster. And there shalt thou build an altar unto the Lord thy God, an altar of stones. Thou shalt not lift up any iron tool upon them. Thou shalt build the altar of the Lord thy God of whole stones, and thou shalt offer burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord thy God. And thou shalt offer peace offerings, and shalt eat there, and rejoice before the Lord thy God. And thou shalt write upon the stones all the words of this law very plainly. As soon as they had passed over the Jordan, they were to build an altar of God, altar to God, and offer peace offerings, and write the words of the law on great big stones. We see that obedience brings about many blessings from the Lord. And however, we also see there are even more curses of disobedience. So we have a choice, brothers, sisters, and young people and friends. Choose to follow our own hearts or to follow God's word.
On behalf of all of us, I'd like to thank you, Brother Brett, for your words, and to Brothers Evan, Peter, Nick, and Gideon for leading us in the classes this week. Your classes formed a cohesive message I think we can all take with us as we head our separate ways later today. Right, and we will now turn our attention over to the emblems this morning, as they are the reason for our congregation. By doing so, we will read Matthew chapter 26, starting at verse 17. Now the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, the Master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, take, eat, this is my body. We will now call upon our brother Evan Dineen to give us the prayer for the bread.
Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We come unto you at this time to thank you for this time and place that you have given unto us to assemble together and to hear that much needed word of exhortation and to partake of this bread in remembrance of thy Son and his sacrifice and his life that he lived in complete obedience unto you. We pray that as we partake of this bread, that we will realize that we are saying that in our lives, we will put on the qualities of Christ and to the best of our ability, remain obedient unto our Heavenly Father, and that you will help us and guide us and keep us on that straight and narrow path. And we pray that your Son will return soon, and that he will establish thy kingdom, and that the earth will be full of thy glory. And we ask all this thy Son's saving name, Jesus the Christ, whom we remember now. Amen.
And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." We will now call upon our brother Nick Bartlett to do a prayer for the wine.
Dear Lord God, our Father and our Creator, thank you so much for bringing us here this weekend, all together as one big group, dear Lord, as once again we know how important fellowship with one another is. And we know why we come here on this Sunday morning, dear Lord, to break bread and to drink wine, dear Lord, to remember your Son's sacrifice, which was so significant and so amazing that you could send your one and only Son to this earth to die for us. And we know he was blameless, and we must try to lead a life as he did, dear Lord. And as we depart from this place today, after a wonderful weekend, we ask that you guard, guide, and protect us each and every day. Keep us on that straight and narrow, and watch us as we stumble, and help to pick us back up, as we all know that we will stumble, but we know that with your power, with your mercy, with your grace, and most of all, with your love, you'll be able to pick us back up and get us back on that path. So we thank you now, and we ask this prayer through Jesus' name. Amen.
But rather, seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell all that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags with wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We will close this morning's memorial service with a singing of hymn number 435 to the first tune. God be with you till we meet again, by his counsel's guide uphold you, with his sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again. And after the singing of this hymn, we will close in a word of prayer with our brother Eric Lubin.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy great and most glorious name. Come before thee, Father, to thank thee for this time which thou hast given us to come together in fellowship, to remember thy Son and the sacrifice done on our behalf. We also thank thee, Father, for this weekend. We ask, Father, that as we leave this place, thou would be with us and to guide us home safely. It would be this day, Father, that thou would send thy Son to this earth to set up thy kingdom, and in whose return we await. For we ask all these things, in and through thy Son's name, the Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. Thank you.